The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I am joined by clinical psychotherapist and co-host of the Tough Love podcast, Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we want to talk about knee-jerk reactions.
Yes.
What are they?
Well, I suppose when even just by way of example, straight away, I kind of often think of car rage. You know, I see people sometimes responding, you know, completely instantaneously, you know, so there really are knee-jerk reactions. I suppose we think of it as that instantaneous reaction that people have to something. Usually it's a threat. Usually it's something that is, where they feel emotional, have an immediate emotional response. Now, in psychological terms, we would see it, you know, in many ways. We would see it that it's partly to do with the primitive kind of side of our brain, you know, that what they call the lizard brain or the limbic system, where we have, you know, we have that capacity still in our kind of heritage, evolutionary heritage. We still have that within us to switch on at speed to survive something that feels like an attack. The problem is we don't need it that often anymore, but we still have it there, and it clicks in at fierce speed. And you know yourself straight away, in fact, that you can't think. It's beyond thinking. So it bypasses your kind of, if you like, your executive functions. You know, it bypasses that capacity you usually have to think about the item in front of you, to ascertain if it's something you should respond to or if it's appropriate. None of that comes into play. All that gets completely pushed away, and instead you have an instinctive gut feeling response. And obviously some of that is good. You know, you need to see lots of that is good. You need to see the car coming at you rather than somebody at the corner. So there's many the more dangerous things. The problem is many things are not dangerous to us, but we still can respond with that knee-jerk type of system, and we need to be careful of that.
So somebody pulls in front of you in a careless way, and you're driving along, and then you suddenly, you know, get the red mist in front of you, and you decide to tailgate that person. And I've seen this many times out there. You wonder, what's going on? These two guys seem to be battling each other. What is going on?
And well, that's exactly it.
Someone's had a knee-jerk reaction to perceived bad behaviour.
Yes, and to a perceived threat. Like, it's also what the person is saying to themselves sort of about what has happened in front of them. Do they see it as a threat? You might look at it quite differently. But the trick in many ways, there are some tricks that we often mention to people. Now, some people are more inclined to this, and we can go back to that. But the trick to that moment and to not responding in a knee-jerk way is to what we call like the bird's eye view, try and create a small gap. It's any gap of time, because there is a gap. There is a sweet spot where you can actually intervene, interrupt, distract your mental sort of reaction, and instead you can find a neutral space. And the neutral space is what allows you to let the emotions subside. And it, usually what we try and help people to do who have sort of anger issues and all of that, that can be, you know, sort of a first cousin of this, if you like. And we would help them to find that capacity to look from above like a bird looking down. We often think of it, if you think of it like a current in the sea, which is taking you out, sometimes the right thing is not to fight it, but to kind of calm with it, and then you find your way back. So it's something of that. Maybe not the best parallel, but it's to give a sense that fighting the current doesn't always work.
You know, you might get something that annoys you in an email, and you're tempted to immediately hammer back. Well, you can still the my trick though is not to put any name in the address line.
Because, you know, I've heard that before.
Write the email in reply, then, you know, give yourself time by not putting the name in the address line. It can't be sent even accidentally. And then you a few minutes later or the morning after, you look at it again and think, well, maybe that was a bit intemperate.
Yes. And isn't that exactly it? Now, with an email, you can create that space. And that's exactly I've heard funny another person say exactly that. They bang it out because they're annoyed and all of that, and they don't put in the name, just like yourself. So we really encourage that. That is about trying to find create a gap, create a few seconds. It seems simple, but actually what you're doing is you are allowing your body to adjust to what is happening, and you're finding that moment where you can see that something is happening to you, which isn't usually happening to you, this flood of adrenaline that is coming into your system, and you can allow that just to happen and watch it and observe it instead of acting upon it. If you can create that second, you will do really well, even in the car.
Now, what about in relationships where something is said that then cannot be unsaid?
Yes, the sped arrow and the spoken word. Well, I think, yes, things being unsaid are always difficult, because hurt is, you know, hurt is felt and kept. But at the same time, if you have had, for example, there are many things hurtful are said in relationships, which often reside in childhood. I know I often come back to that, and that obviously shows my own training, but and my own perspective. But the reality is that when we're in relationship, intimate relationships, our childhood comes back more clearly there than any other time, because we're in that intimate kind of setting with each other. But so if you have been, as many people are, what I would call flawed childhoods, we all have, you know, we all carry our little stories. And if you have enough good stuff, you'll be able to manage to love and be loved. But if you've had a lot of damage, it can be difficult. If you've been, like many people I would see, if you've been diminished, say, by a parent, if you've been embarrassed by that, you know, the carer, if you've been abused, so if you've been overwhelmed with punishments. I mean, I still hear things and I feel, oh my God, does that still happen? And that people are kind of violent. And so if you've experienced any of that overwhelm, you can be very prone to a trigger reaction to your partner. And that's really hard to take for that partner. But if they can understand where it's coming from, it obviously helps. If you have the capacity to say, I'm sorry, you did not deserve that, this comes from somewhere deep in me that I'm trying to manage and trying to deal with, I think that helps in the healing, if you like. And after that, really, it is to reinstate, isn't it? To reinstate the love and peace. But I think that's what you have to do. I think you have to share it and share the difficulty. But within a couple, that definitely can cause a lot of problems, especially if it's unacknowledged, because people don't like to acknowledge that they had a faulty background. People will often say, oh, I feel disloyal to my parent, you know, saying that they were hard on me or they were cruel to me. But actually, you know, you do have to be truthful about the imperfection of your own situation and history.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Clinical psychotherapist, co-host of the Tough Love podcast. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.